Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and I'm joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. My back's killing me because I just spent all yesterday pulling up an entire carpet from the front room because there's just so much dog piss in my life right now. Can't have those carpets because there's just so much dog piss in my life right now.
Brilliant.
It is brilliant. You're right, it is brilliant. Bloody brilliant.
It's times like this I'm glad I don't have a dog, although the cats aren't much better. The cats really aren't that clean. Whenever I'm out, because the cats have learned, or the young cat Tuna has learned to break into my office, office room in the apartment, earlier I came back from a trip to the shop, went to my room, and the door was ajar. And I walked in, the two cats were just sitting there on my desk, causing a right mess. And they just sort of go in there and act like terrorists when I'm not around. They like to terrorize my studio, my office space.
You've got quite valuable stuff in your office/production
studio. Yeah, I know, right?
Like, it's difficult. It's difficult. But I will say for one, Chris, you are in your Sendai studio for possibly
Indeed.
What could be the last time on this podcast, and let me tell you, it's lovely to see it again because I've not seen it for a little while.
Well, I mean, so you might recall last week I was going to Tokyo to go and look at a studio overlooking a concrete highway overpass somewhere near Shibuya, I think it was. It was all looking good, but then I got there and it was rubbish because we walked in through the front door. It's about 7 or 8 stories up, had this really tiny elevator, and it got to the fourth story and the door swung open. And it was an old age pensioner's gym. And I watched them working out for a bit. Then the door slammed shut and I carried on my journey upwards and upwards to the 7th floor of Gilded Luxury. And then, I got to what might have been my office. And first off, there was 2 toilets, male and female. There was 2 toilets separated by gender, which is quite glamorous, I guess. Not just the one toilet, so that could have been good if guests come. Choose your toilet. But got in the room, and the space was twice the size of the current Abroad Japan studio. I like that. But what I didn't like was outside of all 5 windows, you could see 4 concrete highway overpasses riddled with traffic going... It was literally like the studio was in a highway. It was so surreal.
So loud.
And it wasn't good. And the current studio is in a really nice kind of peaceful part of Sendai. It's quite calm. There's a balcony I can laze around on and whatnot. Mm. And it was just like, oh God, this is going to be shit.
It sounds like a Ray Bradbury kind of tower block kind of situation. I will say you are moving to the busiest city in the world.
it's biggest by population.
Built up. Yeah, biggest by population. Yeah. And we all make a bit of noise here and there, even the rather demure Japanese. And you are looking for a bit of quiet, a little oasis in the middle of the biggest metropolitan area in the world.
Well, Tokyo is pretty big, right? And I think we chose that location because it was convenient and whatnot. But it's just the noise, even with soundproof windows, because the current Abroad Japan studio used to be really noisy. But then the moment I got it, I got some windows fitted and it cut out all the audio and now it's like a soundproof room. So I could have done that, but it was just really stressful having the windows open and just seeing like this constant flow of traffic down a highway. And there was like 4 layers, like we don't even have this in England. We haven't invented like highway overpasses of this magnitude, but because it is Tokyo and because it is so big, there are like 3-4 layers of highways stacked over each other, right? Side by side and above and below. And it just felt like being in the most stressful, chaotic place. I think having my studio in the middle of Shibuya Crossing would have been less bloody stressful than where this place was. So I reluctantly said no, and the search continues. I have to keep looking for somewhere that's going to tick all the boxes.
What are your needs kind of with facilities outside of the office? Are you going to be needing chicken skewers on your doorstep, vending machines selling the very best sweet corn soup?
Right now I'm right next to a Lawson, a 7-Eleven, and it's great. You just go out, get some Karaage-kun chicken strips from Lawson and live happily ever after. So I would like that. In an ideal world, we would be 2 minutes from a convenience store. So when I'm depressed and alone, I could go downstairs, get myself a bag of chicken, and then come back up and be happy. So that would be nice. And just good access as well. One reason I moved to Tokyo is because it sucks at the moment that nobody can come here. Like, you've got the world's greatest studio, but like nobody actually sees it because it's so far away. So I want it to be somewhere kind of central in Tokyo so anybody can just turn up and have a poke around and steal my things. Like the great Pete Premier 2 did the other day. He's just done one of these, never-ending stream? Streamathon. He did a streamathon.
They're very popular, aren't they? He's a man he's a man. How old is he? Cracking on for my age, isn't he?
He's 40 this year,
He's an old man. He can't be sleeping and doing a streamathon, for crying out loud.
No, but Pete's magic. He's got like
he is magic.
ADHD
He has limitless energy, that lad.
He genuinely does. Like, I've never seen him. I've seen him when he's had 2 hours sleep, and he still has more energy than Chernobyl pre-explosion. And like, you know, he's boundless with energetic levels. And so he was great for the streamathon. I tuned in every now and then I was in it. He came up to Sendai, and he had to do like these quests. And one of the quests was he had to steal something from the Abroad Japan studio without me noticing.
Oh,
and he stole something, and I literally noticed it 5 seconds later because I was like, I'll go and have a look around and see. And I was like, oh, there it is. It was the Game Boy. He stole my fucking Game Boy.
Stole your Game Boy. They're valuable these days. If you go on Facebook Marketplace in south of England, people are taking the absolute piss when it comes to selling old retro. Like, I mean, for a Game Boy, they're genuinely selling it for like 90 quid. You know, like the sort of stuff you'd see in Super Potato in Akihabara for like $5. They're bringing them home or, you know, find them somewhere else and they are just selling them for $90. And people seem to be fucking paying for them. I think I've spoken about them before, DK Aldi's on YouTube. They are getting old systems and giving it a little bit of a spit shine, if that. Sometimes not even opening the system and dusting around. But they're reselling these, like, you know, PS2s, PS3s for like 400 noughts. It's absolutely insane the amount of money that they're asking for. But people who don't really remember how much things cost back in the day, and people who don't have this sort of stuff lying around are paying it because they want a retro experience, but they can't be bothered to do it themselves, if you know what I mean. Like, they can't be bothered to go around and shop around. They'd rather pay another 100 quid on top to have an easy experience that's kind of like they're having their hand held a little bit, which I understand, but it's abhorrent the amount of money these companies are making. Wow.
Well, I mean, the Game Boy that Pete thieved, stole from me, that was from Super Potato, and it cost, I think it was about 4,500 yen, which is like £3. So it does definitely pay to get a Game Boy over here in Japan. So no, 5,000 yen, what is that? That's like £35 or something, right? That's a steal compared to the UK, where they are rarer because we just don't look after our stuff. Or maybe it's just me, but I feel like we don't really take care of things in the UK in the same way they do here. So there is an unlimited supply of old Game Boys and like Famicoms in Japan at a reasonable price. So maybe I should do that next time I come over. Just bring a suitcase packed full of Game Boys and just stand in a market in London. Be like, Game Boys, get your Game Boys.
Game Boys, get your Game
Fresh
Boys.
Fresh off the plane from Japan. Buy the Game Boy. But I want to get it back. But we did this thing, like, I joined him on the streamathon. And we made it like a choose-your-own-adventure. Went to Matsushima Bay, which is a nice bay near here. Lots of tiny islands, about 100 tiny islands. It's a lovely place. And we said, do you want us to go to the park and look at a shrine? Do you want us to cross this bridge and go to this place? Or do you want us to find a hidden beach? And they chose hidden beach. And we drove to this really remote place, this island, and we found the hidden beach. It was lovely. But then his internet cut out because it was so hidden there wasn't any cell phone
the
reception.
The internet hid from it. The internet so it was, like, was hiding from
there
it.
There it is. Yeah, it was like, there it is. And then it was like, shh.
Oh, so no. It sounds like a horror film. Like, they've got the hidden beach and then they just, you know, drown or whatever. Wow.
It was really nice, though. I'll show you a photo. But, like, it was a bit of a horror film because we drove down this road for, like, half an hour where there was, like, nothing. And it was like a degraded, destroyed road. And then we got off on foot and we were walking along this cliff edge down this very perilous footpath, right? And it was all pretty shady, but the rewards were great. Here's a little photo. I think I posted this publicly on Twitter, but, like, yeah, you can see.
I mean, that looks incredible, doesn't it? What a lovely scene in Ypres. Yeah. Beautiful.
So well done, Pete. Streamathon.
Well done, Pete.
And they make a lot of money as well. Times like this, I wish I was a Twitch streamer. So I think he made bank out of it, so that's good. Maybe it would cover all his moving costs, but fair play to him. Fair play. Hard work.
Where's he moving? Where's
Oh, let's just dox him. Is he just, let's just dox him.
Oh, no. I'm just saying where he lives. Like, is he moving like
23
into Tokyo, out of Tokyo?
Tokyo Street. Shibuya. No, he's in Tokyo. Yeah, it's Tokyo.
Ah, lovely.
Just the Tokyo Smashing. Area.
Everyone's moving to Tokyo. It's like everyone moving to London at the end of university. Everyone's moving to moving to Tokyo.
He's already in Tokyo, so he's just moving to another bit of Tokyo because it's so fucking big. I mean, it's almost not fair to call Tokyo... Like, Tokyo is like five different cities in one. So, it's kind of like not fair to even call. But, like,
each one noisier than the last. Each
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
Okay, the complete opposite of what Chris Broad needs in a studio.
I know, right? What am I going to do? Where are we going to find somewhere? Well, I'll update you guys soon. I'm sure we'll find something. We've got a story this week from John and Lauren, who says, greetings, Chris and Pete. My name is John, and I recently spent 2 weeks travelling from Osaka to Tokyo with my wife, Lauren, on our first visit to Japan. About halfway through our trip, we're in Kyoto. And on our way one morning from our hotel to the Imperial Palace via the local subway, the train was not full, but myself and Lauren had managed to snag the last two seats on the train before it became standing only. Oh. We stopped at a station and three old Japanese ladies boarded and stood near where we were sitting. Knowing the Japanese deference for the elderly and not being awful people, we got up to offer them our seats. Naturally. Before we had even fully stood up, the closest of the three elderly ladies to us practically jumped in front of us, put her arm on our shoulders, and shoved us back down into our seats with a no! Arigato gozaimasu! No! We sat back down, and for the rest of the ride, she would smile and nod to us. Can you just imagine that? Like that guy, the lumberjack guy, he sort of just nods, just like that, with the old woman, like, giving the wink. And if a seat became available, she shoved, with the same gusto, one of her friends into the seat first, and then the second, before finally a seat next to us became available, and she took it herself. It was one of the most memorable encounters we had on our trip, and got me wondering, is this a common encounter to have amongst elderly Japanese, and have either of you had similar experiences in your time in Japan? Thank you for all the content, guys. Keep up the good work, John and Lauren. Well, there you go. That's a heartwarming story. All I could think of with that is any other stories with elderly women. All I thought was the monkey busters. The elderly women clutching fucking airsoft guns, shooting monkeys off their farm.
That is surprising.
That's the only other time we've talked about elderly Japanese women on the show that I can recall. That's quite common, though. People feel awkward sometimes when you help them in Japan, right? When you help them out. And they'll be like, no, please stay seated. But it's still worth it, I think, to offer them your seat because it's just a nice gesture. Even though you did get physically assaulted and thrown back into your seat, John, by an elderly woman. She's like, no, fuck off, sit down, no, I can stand, don't you dare.
Yeah, make sure to know that you, make sure you let her know that she looks elderly. That's always a big win for me. Just really let them know.
Maybe they don't like that, I don't know. But like, yeah, I feel like people don't like the sense of obligation that comes from being helped in Japan, right? And I don't know, but people feel a bit awkward about that. It's not uncommon, but isn't that lovely? Well, what is
my
lovely?
My last interaction with an old lady was with you in Kyoto, where I nearly knocked her off a fucking bike.
Remember,
I walked out in front of her on a scooter, and like, bless her, she was going a fair old lick, and she was going, she sped off down the road. I clattered into her. Her scooter inexplicably kept going, and she was going, "Dajobu, Dajobu," and I was going, "Dajobu, Dajobu."
I remember.
Is everyone all right?
Yeah.
Is everyone all right? God, that could have been terrible. That would have been absolutely a stink. And it was like the first couple of days of my holiday as well. Oh, rubbish.
I like to think it's the same old woman, because Kyoto only has three elderly women, and it's definitely the same one. But that was a nice story featuring trains. What isn't so nice is the next story. Now, everyone that comes to Japan, they all do one thing, and that is get the Japan Rail Pass. Because for pretty small amount, I think for 7 days and 29,000 yen, which is about, £240 or $250, you get unlimited rides on trains operated by JR. It's wonderful. But they've just put the price up, haven't they, Pete? And it's all downhill from here. But it's not all bad. Fill us in on what's going down.
So I've used the JR Pass every single time I've been to Japan. Mm. It's great, it's cheap, it's affordable, it makes sense, especially if you're going up and down the country and you want to get there fast. As you said, a 7 day pass costs 29,000 yen, and since an ordinary round trip Shinkansen from Tokyo to Kyoto and back is around about 26,000 yen, buying the JR Pass in question is a bit of a no-brainer. You can even kind of go, right, well, look, I'm only going to be doing parts of the JR line, and you can sort of slice it up, really. You can have JR East Pass, you can have this, but I've always gone for, like, the whole shebang and just decided to sort of do all of them at the same, like, you know, have access to all of them at the same time. But there's a massive price increase coming. I don't know why. Maybe it's just COVID. Maybe it's just they realised that they were just letting tourists get away with murder. Or maybe there's just a bit of a revolt for people who sort of commute every day, that foreigners are allowed to use these things and they're not. JR's announced that prices for the standard JR Pass will be rising by nearly 70%. 70%. Now,
that's quite a lot.
I'm fairly certain you can get a green car, fancy dancy one. You can get a fancy dancy green car pass, which costs more. I've not got the details on whether that one is going up, but the basic JR Pass National is going up by nearly 70%. In its announcement, the people who sell these things are basically saying that in line with these new changes, in line with the price increase, you can now use the faster trains. The Nozomi and Mizuho class trains are the fastest trains. Now, if you ever use one of those JR passes inside Japan, it was a bit of a pain in the arse, because you had to sort of figure out which kind of train, whether it was a quick train, whether it was a slow train, you had to figure out which one you could go on. And so you could only go on the third fastest train. You couldn't go on the second or first. And that was always very, very annoying. So, with all this in mind, massive price increase, fine. But you do get to go on the fastest trains, because it was very confusing to get to a train station, especially when it's really busy, sort of go, oh, the next train's this time, and then realise, because you've got a JR pass, you can't get on a certain train because you didn't have access to the fastest trains. Now you do, you're paying a lot more, fair dues, but you do have to buy an upgrade ticket as well. So I've absolutely seen myself off there. I've just read the rest of the article. You do have to actually go and purchase an upgrade ticket, because with the green, like the fancy green car one, you do. If you wanted access to the green carriage or whatever, you had to go and get a pass. Didn't cost you any money, but you had to go to the desk and sort of go, can I book a seat? You had to book a seat in the green car, in the fancy schmancy car. Even, you know, you couldn't just walk on and just sit down. So, look, it's, if you're going to Japan, it's a pain in the arse. It's going to be a bit more money, but it does mean you can, with a little bit of tinkering here and there, access the faster trains. But it is going to be changing in October this year. So if you go on this summer, you might be absolutely fine. But once it gets to October, there will be changes afoot when it comes to how much the JR Pass is going to cost you. But look, it was an incredible deal. It's less of an incredible deal now, but I'd probably argue it's still worth it, Chris.
I don't think so, actually. Unless you are someone who is travelling a lot, right? Then yeah. Then it's worth it. If you're travelling like every day and you're going from one end of Japan to the other, for sure.
Yeah.
7 days, 50,000 yen. For example, to travel from Sendai to Tokyo is about 11,000 yen one way. So if I do a return trip, that's 20,000 yen. Yeah. So I personally, though, yeah, unless you're travelling extensively, I don't think it's worth it anymore with these new changes.
No.
Before, I would say yes, but now I don't think I would. 14 days, that's such a big price increase from 47,000 yen to 80,000 yen.
That is, yeah. It's a shame.
I wonder why they've done it. This is the thing. Nobody really knows. I haven't seen anywhere why they've increased the price, you know, by 60, 70%. Some say it's inflation. Some say it's just not profitable for them, especially with the booming tourism, right? Tourism is exploding in Japan at the moment.
Right.
And maybe it's not worthwhile or they're not getting their money's worth out of it anymore. There are other rail passes. For example, different parts of Japan do have different rail passes. Like I think JR East, for example, has one just for Tohoku,
right,
which might be worth looking into. And there's some speculation that they'll benefit more because now, instead of getting the nationwide pass, which doesn't really add up, you could get a local pass for a more reasonable fee. Like, I don't know the numbers on that. The JR East pass. So, say if you're going around Tohoku, right, for five days of unlimited travel, that is 20,000 yen currently. Now, that's really good. And given that I just said that to go to Tokyo and back from Sendai is about 11,000 yen. So if you were going from like Tokyo to Sendai, Sendai to Morioka, Morioka to Akita, or Akita to, you know, Aomori, then that would be worth it if you're doing a 5-day trip around Tohoku. But yeah, for the big one, the main one, when the prices change goes into effect, it's not worth it. Mm. And actually, one thing I didn't like with the pass, and I'd never done it, I'd only watched my friends use it, it looked quite inconvenient because you had to sort of go up to the gate and do something weird to get it, or you had to go and claim a ticket. How'd you do it, Pete? You don't just turn up,
when you first get to Japan, you go to if you're coming into Tokyo, there's a you've got to basically bring your passport, bring your voucher for your pass, and then they check out your details, write all your passport stuff down, you sign on the line, and they give you your pass effectively. You got to go to a train station. So a train station, there's usually a gate just for the JR pass in Shinjuku, Shibuya. All the major kind of train stations have them. But you do have to go and exchange them before you get on a train. But then, you know, you just keep that pass with you. If you lose it, you're fucked. But if you you can't get a replacement or anything. But if you just have it on you, and instead of going through the gates where you'd put feed a ticket or use a QR code, you just basically wave it in front of a man's face, and there's always somebody there. It's not like London where if you've got a paper ticket, which I frequently do because I live out in the sticks now, like it's a real pain in the ass. People just aren't there. If your paper ticket doesn't work in the machine, you just stand there waiting for someone to come over. But there's always somebody for people with disabilities, people with children and stuff. There's a gate just for accessibility reasons, and you just waft it in their face, and then just walk off. Really, it's good.
I like the flexibility of just going up to machine and just choosing where I'm going and just booking the seat there and then. And it's been a little bit complicated with the JR rail pass. I think you have to go to the desk, right, and deal with the staff. Without that, you can just use a machine, which operated all in English anyway, and it's really easy to use. So, I would say from October, whenever these changes go into effect, I would... is it actually October?
October. Okay. Yeah, you got a little while.
I'd say from then on, maybe don't do it unless you are someone who is travelling an awful lot and plans to like really go to town on Japan, so to speak, and see every bloody city. But I suppose one good thing out of it, if there is a good thing, is that maybe it'll encourage people to deviate from the old golden route of just doing Tokyo, Hakone and Kyoto, and actually go off and see some more interesting places like Tohoku or like... Kanazawa or Takayama. So we shall see, but this has changed Japan travel. This is going to be a big change, and it might kill the JR rail pass once and for all. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions with the fax machine.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online.
Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Oh, we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
Nice short to the point emails this week from the fashion, or rather faxes. Hello, Cool Chris and Paragon Pete. Matsuyama and Shikoku seem like very cool places, but I've not heard much about them. Would you ever do more projects out there? All the best, Jonathan from Los Angeles.
I mean, have you been to Shikoku? Have you been there?
Have I? I forget where it is, to be honest. Shikoku.
We've been
to Shikoku, haven't we?
No.
I don't think I have, actually. No. No, it's the island. It's the small island that's in the...
It is,
it? Yeah. It's that little... Yeah, I've never been. Anything on there that I should be enjoying?
Takamatsu? Scarecrow Village.
Scarecrow Village.
It's got my favourite castle, Matsuyama Castle, which is on a mountain.
Favourite castle,
nice. Yeah. It's got Kochi, which is a nice fish market with Bonito. this kind of like grilled fish. It's nice. It's nice. It's not like, I'd say there's better places. My sister actually just did a video there and just been driving around there, and she's had a whale of a time. She met some interesting character who like runs an art gallery in a rundown school.
Nice.
And people always have like really wacky adventures down there, including, to be fair, Connor and I, when we had our own wacky adventure, we found this rickety wooden bridge over a thunderstorm and nearly got killed on that. We went to the worst hotel in Japan with blood all up the walls, and we saw Scarecrow Village and went to a fish market. So Shikoku's got a real adventurous spirit to it, to be fair, but it is the sort of place you need to have a car. Like, it's a road trip place.
Yes.
And I would say
that's fair, yeah.
Road trip around it or cycle across the inland sea to it. But yeah, cool place, but more of a place to add on if you've got 3 weeks instead of two. But I've covered it a lot on Abroad in Japan over the years, so go and check it out. It's in the worst hotel video, and it's in the one called I Made a Japanese Friend in a Day video.
I Made a Japanese Friend.
It's something like that. I don't know. It's a good video. It's a good one. I like that. I've got one here from Sydney, from LA, who says, hello there, Chris and Pete. I'm currently dealing with a situation of seriously paper-thin ceilings / floors in my apartment complex. I'm convinced my upstairs neighbours are making noises on purpose to piss me off. I've already asked our property managers to notify the upstairs neighbours about the noise, yet the neighbours don't seem to care. Can you please offer advice on how to deal with this, Chris? Sydney from LA. I suspect Pete Donaldson is going to find a solution to that. What would you do, Pete? What would you bang the fucking ceiling with a broom?
Bad
sing
prawns.
Loudly.
I just leave buckets of bad prawns around. You know, you don't have to. You don't have to make a load of noise to upset people.
There you go. That's what you do, Sydney. You just leave
bad prawns.
Some prawns. Fucking hell. I don't know. Really, I had that problem in my last apartment, and it was shit. And there wasn't really much we could do about it. With this woman who would just plonk herself down the sofa really loudly, and it would like have this really loud springing noise. Like, you know, like the noise of a broken sofa or couch.
Nice.
It would just be like this horrible big spring noise, and she'd just like drop on it like a stone.
Badonk.
And yeah, it's really, and it just, that was really annoying. And they would argue. But yeah, that's what happens living in an apartment, right? You gotta deal with that sort of stuff. You don't live in an apartment anymore. You live in a house, right, Pete? You're lucky.
No, but I mean, I've had a passive aggressive note put on my car before saying that. Saying that the dogs are making too much noise. It's like, it's a dog.
Oh, shit.
I cannot reason with them. They're dogs.
We live in a society, Pete. We live in a society.
We do. We do.
Keep those dogs in check.
Yeah.
It's a good thing about cats, actually. They're a lot less noisy.
Yes,
generally.
I'd say
generally.
So, yeah.
Got one last one. But good luck, Sydney. I hope the situation resolves itself. Use the prawns. See what happens. It'll certainly elicit an interesting response. We got one here from Brandon. He says, dear Football Premier League Pete, a newly Tokyoite Chris, Connor mentioned in the latest Trash Taste episode, touristy stuff is so lame. But what would you consider to be the top six touristy stuff not to miss in Japan? Fucking hell. Top 10, I don't know. Top six touristy stuff.
Top 10 touristy stuff.
Guess, kick us off.
I mean, now
six,
the robot
not to miss.
Now the robot restaurant's gone. I mean, what do you do? You got, I mean, obviously, Barakolic. My Barakolic.
Is that touristy?
Yeah.
Right,
I mean, you look at the... I follow Barakolic on Twitter, and like it's just all just clearly foreigners having a lovely time.
All our listeners, yeah. Barakolic in Shibuya. That's a good one. It's a pretty cool place, to be fair. It's a really nice neighbourhood. Actually, it's not a nice neighbourhood. It's a cool neighbourhood, though. Very gritty. Number two, I'd say, like, the Sensoji Temple. It's probably the busiest temple in the world. But it does look good. And if you get there, like all these places are really touristy on this list, but it's all about the time of day you go there. For with the Sensoji Temple, if you go in the morning or in the evening when the shops are shut, you can have the whole place to yourself. But if you go between the hours of like 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., it's shit. So
It is.
And I'd say point number three would be the Kiyomizudera Temple in Kyoto. I was just there doing a video coming out this week about running a bar in Kyoto. That's out on Chris Abroad channel. Check it out. But when we were there, super mega crazy busy, totally not fun. It was like,
right,
you know, it was like being in a crowd when a football stadium empties and you're sort of getting crushed in a group. It was like that. It was awful. Right, but if you go there at like 9 a.m., it's empty. Mm. So all about the times. So yeah, Bar Rockaholic, Sensoji Temple, Kiyomizudera Temple in Kyoto. What's next, Pete? 456.
The little antique markets they have in Yoyogi Park. I'm just sort of thinking, like,
where's that?
Places you'd go to.
Yoyogi Park.
It's in between Shibuya and Yoyogi Park. There's like a little, not as far as Harajuku, just kind of like before you get to the park, there's like this little, before you get over the main road, there's like this little kind of antique-y kind of fair that happens every weekend. Sometimes it's a food market, sometimes it's a beer market, it's a beer festival. Sometimes they do little festivals there. And it's for Tokyo, it's very, sort of thing I would see out in the sticks, but you wouldn't necessarily see that sort of thing in Tokyo. But if you've only got a couple of days in Tokyo, it's quite a nice little visit.
So, vaguely located antique market number
four. Yeah. near where the blokes do their dancing. Near where those blokes who dress up like greasers and have a little dance to rock
this
and roll.
This is a place Pete Donaldson has made up in his head. This isn't real. You've just made this up on a dream.
Yeah.
I think I know where I mean. I think I know where you mean roughly.
Okay.
Number five, fucking Dotonbori in Osaka. Really touristy, really busy, lovely place to stay, great with lights. And number six, help me out here, Pete. Number six. What about Odaiba? You know, the place where they've got the Statue of Liberty, the fake tiny.
Okay.
That's kind of cool because the Statue of Liberty is a bit tacky, but the view of Tokyo from there, across Tokyo Bay, is awesome. You get to ride on the monorail over the rainbow crossing. Yeah. And there's a games arcade with some rides and stuff that's kind of fun.
Go on one of the big wheels. Go on one of the big wheels down Odaiba way. Great stuff.
There you go.
Over the rainbow.
There you go. And there's your list. Yeah. There you go. There you go, Brandon. But keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. And we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.